You may not think much about small things like the linens on your dining room table, but I guarantee my guest today does. She runs her own successful textile manufacturing business and shares her discerning attention to detail designing and catering worldwide events for the stars. This is YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top. I'm Kevin Daum, and each week I bring you insights from the world's top executives of YPO. All made possible with grants from Gazelle's Growth Institute, www.growthinstitute.com. YPO member Monica Bali was born and raised in Prato, Italy, outside of Florence. She grew up in the family textile business, Lanificio Fratelli Bali, which has been producing some of the finest wool in Italy for over 70 years and now has nearly 24 subsidiary companies. But while textiles may be Monica's primary business, food is her passion. She founded Tuscan Bites, a world-renowned event planning and catering company that brings the Italian experience to celebrity-attended events all over the world. Some of the ingredients and staffing are locally sourced, but she provides an Italian Michelin star chef and always brings her own olive oil and wine. As if Monica wasn't busy enough, she's also starting a franchise event planning business that will soon have locations around the world. Monica, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kevin.
So 60 years in textiles, do you see that the globalization and the internet has helped to support the expansion of Italian textiles and fabrics and fashion, or do you think it's made it more complicated?
I would say both. Globalization is great if you know how to get on that wave, because you can have really everything with a click, and the world has become so, so small. But on the other side, what you have learned with experience and lots of effort and also lots of investments, everybody can come and copy it. So that's also what is happening in the area where I'm from, Prato, where we have like big communities of foreigners that have learned how to do our job. And that brought a lot of troubles as well, I would say. It has become a lot of big competition inside our walls.
You have taken the idea of food and an awesome experience. You've turned that into a business. Tell us that story.
Well, actually, my adventure in food started over 20 years ago when I started creating events. I do destination events, both incoming in Italy, but also outgoing.
So you take a Tuscan experience and you take that to cities all over the world.
Exactly. And that I started over 4 years ago with my catering business, Tuscan Bites, which started doing Tuscan catering in LA. We go around and we bring our authentic old grandma's recipes to celebrity homes.
So that business has grown. What are some of the other amazing places that you've taken Tuscan Bites to?
Well, we have traveled over Europe, and hopefully we're going to go to Asia soon.
When you say you take the Tuscan food experience, you don't actually bring Tuscan food, right? You source the food locally, but you bring the chef.
Exactly. So there are some Tuscan foods that you must have. Example, extra virgin olive oil. We only use the Tuscan one. Prosciutto. Wines. We use our wines. But we start with simple ingredients. Like in every place of the world, I can find meat, fish, veggies, fruits, wheat, eggs, cheese, and just put it together. And we just produce it. So that's why we do everything from scratch when we go abroad.
How do you ensure that the staff that you're hiring in various places are going to be able to bring the level of quality that you're looking for as if you were working with your staff here in Florence?
Well, usually my chefs travel with me, so I don't outsource chefs. They just travel from Florence. For what concerns the staffing and the logistics, usually I always go there at least once before. I do a lot of networking, so I have many partners all over the world. And when I go, I have them sort out for me the three best caterers they have. I go and speak to them. I go and see their staffing. I have them play a dinner and see how they serve, how they act, how they react with me. And I'm very much listening to my guts.
Now, when you're bringing an event to one of these areas, you're working with a client, do you start with the budget or do you start with the theme?
Well, I would say both. Naturally, what happens is that the two are related, of course. My idea with budget is that you have to take that as a base and the result needs to be amplified. So it's nasty when you don't have a budget and you try to present something and that could be too weak or too big for that client.
My understanding is you're taking that massive, incredible, extravaganza party, and you're bringing it down to the everyday affordable situation for most people with a new franchise concept.
I think that in order to have good quality, not always has to be super expensive. I've been in the food business for quite a few years, and I know how to move in there. So I just opened my first restaurant.
So when you staffed this new operation, did you look for people who already had your sense of how to prepare food, or did you decide to start from scratch, so to speak?
You think I must be crazy, but I started from scratch. The only people that have working with me that are really very, very capable are my chefs who have been working with me in the last 10 years. But for example, even at the new restaurant, all my staffing is what I call my pups, because I like to train them and to give them my imprint and have them work the way I like them to work.
You're working with a partner on the franchising aspect, so the partner will be responsible for a lot of the documentation. But do you find yourself thinking forward when you're creating the process to how is this going to work with 100 stores or 1,000 stores? Or do you just focus on the experience now and leave that to the partner?
To be honest with you, I have thought of the replication from the very beginning. In fact, the menu that we're working on is something that is replicable in every corner of the world without seasonality. And also the procedures and things, I've tried them quite a while. I must say that I've always looked into the future to put the idea, the concept, the vision together, the sort of experience I want to have. I put all my expertise of 20 years of event planning in it. Naturally, what I do now, though, is concentrate on this point in Florence, because this is real now. And I want it not only to be up and working, but I want to make sure that the client has that experience that is truly authentic, is unique, that loves the place, feels a little like a Tuscan place near their home, that loves watching the staff when they're making the pasta, when they're making the different dishes. Everything is at sight. It's like a little like gourmet experience, but with an affordable price range.
So as an expert in experiences, and certainly the Florentine experience, what advice would you have, since you live in one of the most desired cities to travel to, what advice would you have for would-be travelers that come to your city?
Try to keep off the beaten track, because Florence is so touristy that you find everything in every book. And I have to tell you that there's so many hidden spots that nobody publishes on books.
Wonderful. Monica, are you ready for our rapid fire questions?
Yep.
Here we go. What is your favorite question to ask when you meet someone new?
Wow. I've never thought of that.
So you ask something different each time?
I do.
Name three of your personal core values.
Ethics, passion, real.
Who has had the greatest impact on you as a leader?
My grandfather.
What did you learn from him?
I learned ethics. I learned that a shake of hands is more than a contract. I learned that you have to start from scratch in order to be inside a job and grow it. And you need to have passion and love it in order to have success.
What is your favorite business book?
It's an engineering book by Walt Disney, and his engineers have written a book with all their mottos and training sessions.
Ah, the Imagineers. What are you reading right now?
Everything to learn on franchise.
Appropriately so. What is the one leadership trait that brings success?
Perseverance.
What is the one leadership trait that kills success?
Show-offing.
Name one daily behavior that will help a leader grow.
Being down to earth.
Name one trait that makes an employee valuable.
Passion and loyalty.
What's your strangest daily habit?
My days are so different that I don't have a daily habit, other than the first morning coffee, I guess.
What's the best way to show employees appreciation?
Listen to them.
We appreciate you letting us listen to you, Monica. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today, and thanks to Gazelle's Growth Institute for underwriting this program. Learn more at growthinstitute.com. Join me next week when I'll be interviewing YPO member Adrian Vichital, who shares how he's re-energizing Central Europe in a whole new way. I'm Kevin Daum, and you're listening to the YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top. To learn more about YPO, please visit ypo.org.